Quite often we see writers and authors writing long books and pieces which take quite a bit of time to read. And then occasionally they write some really short pieces. And you get pleasantly surprised because then you can have a look at their work without having to spend too much of your time. And isn't that wonderful? So, as I was going through Kafka's works, I found quite a number of short notes that he had written in his diaries, some of which were published, some were not published at that time, and I found them quite interesting. And I'm sure you will too. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read some of those really short notes for you. And the first one is called Absent-Minded Window Gazing. Window gazing is such a really interesting activity which we don't talk about much. So let's see what Kafka has to say. What are we to do with these spring days that are now fast coming on? Early this morning, the sky was grey. But if you go to the window, now you're surprised and lean your cheek against the latch of the casement. The sun is already setting, but down below you see it lighting up the face of the little girl who strolls, looking about her. And at the same time, you see her eclipsed by the shadow of the man behind, overtaking her. And then the man has passed by and the little girl's face is quite bright. So that was it. Now let's read another one. It's called Passers-by. When you go walking by night, up a street and a man visible a long way off, for the street mounts uphill and there is full moon, comes running toward you, well, you don't catch hold of him. Not even if he is feeble and ragged creature, not even if someone chases yelling at his heels, but you let him run on. For it is night and you cannot help it if the street goes uphill before you in the moonlight, and besides, these two have maybe started that chase to amuse themselves, or perhaps they are both chasing a third. Perhaps the first is an innocent man and the second wants to murder him, and you would want to not become an accessory. Perhaps they don't know anything about each other and are merely running separately home to bed. Perhaps they are night birds. Perhaps the first man is armed. And anyhow, haven't you right, rather a right, to be tired? Haven't you been drinking a lot of wine? You're thankful that the second man is now long out of sight. And the next one is called Bachelor's Ill Luck. It seems so dreadful to stay a bachelor, to become an old man, struggling to keep one's dignity while begging for an invitation whenever one wants to spend an evening in company, to lie ill, gazing for weeks into an empty room from the corner where one's bed is, always having to say goodnight at the front door, never to run up a stairway beside one's wife, to have only side doors in one's room leading into other people's living rooms, having to carry one's supper home in one's hand, having to admire other people's children, and not even being allowed to go on saying, "I have none myself," modeling oneself in appearance and behavior on one or two bachelors remembered from one's youth. That is how it will be, except that in reality, both today and later, one will stand there with a palpable body and a real head, a real forehead, that is, for smiting on with one's hand. And the last one that I'm going to read, it's called The Top. A certain philosopher used to hang about wherever children were at play, and whenever he saw a boy with the top, he would lie in wait. As soon as the top began to spin, the philosopher went in pursuit and tried to catch it. He was not perturbed when the children noisily protested and tried to keep him away from their toy. So long as he could catch the top while it was still spinning, he was happy, but only for a moment. Then he threw it to the ground and walked away, for he believed that the understanding of any detail, that of a spinning top, for instance, was sufficient for the understanding of all things. For this reason, he did not busy himself with great problems. It seemed to him uneconomical. Once the smallest detail was understood, then everything was understood, which was why he busied himself only with the spinning top. And whenever preparations were being made for the spinning of the top, he hoped that this time it would succeed. As soon as the top began to spin, and he was running breathlessly after it, the hope would turn to certainty. But when he held the silly piece of wood in his hand, he felt nauseated. The screaming of the children, which hitherto he had not heard, and which now suddenly pierced his ears, chased him away, and he tottered like a top under a clumsy whip.